Forever Dog.
I am the number one most impactful artist of our generation.
They gossiping and runs the city. They don't know who watching them when they come to get me. So I hit the block and bend and do about 60. Got the glocks of them like blow, blow, blow. I'm finna get on TV and put this shit down. I'm finna let these light-skinned niggas never come back in style. I'm finna turn this class clown into a crazy G's. They told my mama I was bipolar, I had ADD.
What up, everybody? This is the Bookie A Podcast. I'm Chris Daniels here with Rob Hayes.
Yeah.
We got a very special guest this episode, writer on SNL, Sam J, everybody.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yo, you got to do more than that. She in album mode right now, you know what I'm saying?
Mode.
The album dropping. If
Friday.
You got Netflix, we know you got Netflix. We know you give them, you know what I'm saying, them $10 a month. She got a Netflix. It just popped off. It's
today.
Out right now.
Yeah. It's a good week.
It's a good week
of stuff.
Yeah.
What's the name of the album?
Donna's Daughter.
Is that out yet?
No, it comes out Friday.
All right, Friday, check it out.
It's out now.
It's out now, because it'll be out by the time this is out.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
It's out now.
So you
it's
got no right problems. Now. Go get it.
Mm-hmm.
Go check out that Tight 15 on Netflix.
Stream it, hit download.
Tight 1438.
Specific time. I see Rob is coming for light-skinned dudes early on the podcast.
Hey, man, nah. I'm just showing that Ye been on that tip.
Okay. Yeah,
like that sure. Song is from before Late Registration.
He been at Light Skin Dudes.
Yeah, and then also listening to it today, I was like, dang, he said bipolar back then.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
Right.
Hold up.
Right. Ye's been consistently Ye. That's what makes him great.
Exactly.
It's like, if you're a true Kanye fan, none of this stuff throws you through a loop. You know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
It's consistently, he's a Gemini. He's always like two things at once. He's consistently two things at once, which sounds crazy, but he is.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yo, Sam has been holding down Kanye on other podcasts.
I love Ye.
Like if you're a fan of Sam J, you heard her on other podcasts, really hold down Kanye to the point where other people was just like, you know what? You have a great point. You got it. You know? So yeah. Cause I feel like if you're a real Kanye fan, you've been arguing for him
forever.
For a minute.
Forever.
Right.
Like even before the stuff, you know what I'm saying, the serious stuff.
Yeah.
He was arguing
since
about polos.
Since college dropout.
Yeah.
Just even liking Ye. Like when Ye first dropped, it wasn't a popular thing. It was a weird kid thing to be into Kanye.
Yeah.
Like the first album, College Dropout. I remember my brother being like, that's what y'all listen to now? And I'm like,
oh,
dog, you don't.
Nah, that boy is wrong.
Yeah.
What is that?
Like, you don't understand, bro. Like, this is just, for me, Ye always felt like our, like, De La and our, like, tribe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for our generation, he just really spoke to kids that were in the middle. Like, kids that weren't necessarily middle class, but kids that weren't necessarily poor. And, like, kids that weren't, like, super drug dealers, but maybe you did sell weed at one point to buy some shoes you really wanted. Like, not because you had to, like, feed a whole family. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he kind of always spoke to that middle in such a great way.
I get that. I feel like the mainstream, to kind of make you, like, you owe them something.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter how you are.
On our first podcast, we talked about the, before Kanye, either you had a Koofy or you had a do-rag. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's two type of rappers. And he kind of brought the Koofy and the do-rag together.
I mean, he birthed Drake. You don't get a Drake without a Ye.
Mm. Talk about it.
You don't. You don't. You know, all that introspective shit that Drake was on, that's
mm-hmm.
Ye, man. You don't get that until Ye breaks what rap can be. And that was what was so beautiful about what he did. He just changed what hip-hop could be. He redefined what it even was. You listen to 808s and it's like, that is a hip-hop album, but it's such an alternative album and it's
mm-hmm.
so many different things. Or when he got John Bryan on Late Registration and just the sounds.
Yep.
Like, he just blends worlds so well. But then still keeps it so fucking hip-hop and true to the art form and pushes people to understand that the art form doesn't have to be one thing. And in essence, then niggas don't have to be one thing. Like, niggas could be mad shit, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of always, like, what he's been on. And that's just dope.
I feel like that's what you on as well. you know.
I try to be.
In comedy, you know. And, like, you know, if you go back and listen to So Far Gone, there's no way that sounds like that without 808.
Right.
There's no way without, you know, Say You Will.
You listen to The Ride, and you're like, Drake doesn't get a record like The Ride. Mm-hmm. That introspective without being a fucking Kanye fan.
Lust for Life samples.
You're a Kanye fan. You know what I mean? There's no way.
Lust for Life samples, Ideas and Opiates by Tears for Fears, which is the next track after The Coldest Winter by Tears for Fears on the Hurtin' album. Like, that's like, clearly they was digging and trying to find the same crate.
Right.
That they was, you know what I'm saying, using for 808s and Heartbreak.
100%.
You think that's why he goes so much harder at Kanye right now than Pusha T?
I think that maybe their friendship is stronger, and so maybe he feels like Kanye should have did something.
They neighbors.
To stop Pusha from doing what, but that's light skin shit, because that's not real hip hop shit. Like, Kanye's, at the end of the day, no matter what people say about Kanye, because they don't really get him, he's always been a real hip hop nigga dog. So he's never gonna come in between a nigga beefing with another nigga dog. That's Pusha's decision to make those songs or not make those songs. Like, just, if you love hip hop, you can't do that. I mean, of course, you gotta respect Jay Prince, but like, bro, come on, that's not hip hop.
Nah,
that was wild. Shit,
that's
for
not hip hop, bro.
That was wild.
That's not hip hop,
especially for something where nobody's getting hurt.
Nobody's getting hurt. Drake's feelings got hurt because he didn't expect that.
No, his rollout got hurt.
Yeah, and his rollout got hurt. He had to pull some things back because he wasn't expecting that. But if you respect hip hop, bro, then you know, like, you can't. If you shooting at a nigga, expect them to shoot back, and you don't know what they're gonna shoot back with. There is no rules. You know what I'm saying? So you can't be like, oh, well, he talked about my mom. So, nigga, your mom's on the table. All things is on the table.
You talk about your mom and your dad in your music.
Right. And you went after his chick. So he came after you. He came after your situation. Like, all these things are open and on the table. You parade
Wendy
your
Williams
dad.
Wendy Williams talked about it. He didn't say nothing to Wendy Williams.
But his dad did. This is the first rap beef where I saw both parents came out in defense of their kid.
Because it was hurtful.
I was like, you are over 30.
He called his mom a loser. he just straight up called his mom a loser at life. That's wild.
Drake's responses were weird. Like, he was like, my dad wears Bernie Mac suits.
It was Drake.
What is the difference between a Bernie Mac suit and a Steve Harvey suit?
It was a Drake response.
He know people respect Bernie Mac more. He was like,
the responses I got on Twitter to that was hilarious.
It was Drake's response. Well, this is the thing with Drake. It was the first time. I think why Pusha will forever win the beef and why it was so successful is because, not for nothing, we all know Drake's a corny nigga. Like, nobody who likes Drake. I love Drake. I'm a huge Drake fan. But, like, I never was like, this nigga's like a street nigga. He's a corny kid.
Yeah.
But we accept his corniness because we like his music and he just makes good music. But he started to talk brawler, and Pusha was the first nigga to just push back like a real nigga at him. Like, bro, I'm pulling all your cards.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Well, don't play this game. You don't want to do this.
Pusha figured
out. And he exposed
out.
Himself like he don't want it. He don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm. Pusha went about it like, how do I attack someone whose fan base is majority people who don't listen to me?
Right.
I have to get at him at who is he as a man?
Yeah.
Who, you know, what kind of father is he? Like, you know, like push, he? Like the
and
way
just every
Pusha
layer
went,
of it was a diss. The album cover was a diss. You know what I mean? Yeah. The single on, cover man. Was a diss. It was just like every layer of it.
No bars
was attacking
for that.
This guy's spirit. You try to have an afro. It was just, it was bad.
Yeah. No bars for the blackface.
Yeah.
Blackface bars.
I never seen a diss record really like make someone have to recoup their life the way it made Drake have to like go and like settle his
tell
affairs.
From the album.
He had to go handle his affairs.
Yeah.
His shit was out of order. He had to go get his shit back together.
But he changed his whole thing because the Duppy freestyle was, you made me upset.
Yeah.
And then the album is like, I'm upset, but boy, if It's like no air.
Yeah.
There's so much. I mean, the last track is The Day He Conceived His Child, which kind of ruins side B, because side B is all like, get it in, get it in, get it in. Oops, I had a baby.
Right.
You know?
Right. And it's also like a whack, it's like a whack ode to your child. Like,
yeah.
Just be a real nigga, dog.
Yeah, make
don't it. Don't make a like subliminal
it's
weird.
It's like the kid can't hear this.
Yeah, don't
the
make a subliminal weird thing.
Make it the kid's
your,
birthday. Don't make it
kid.
Conception day. Oh, the day I didn't wear the rubber.
And don't
March 14th.
And don't be like, I was hiding the world from my kid. Like DJ Khaled has a kid. Man who makes kids.
Yeah.
Men have kids. It's not a big deal. Like you weren't proud of that situation.
How are you hiding the world?
You weren't proud of that situation.
From your kid by putting your kid in an Adidas ad.
Right.
You, how does that hide the world from your kid?
But not saying it's your kid. That's bad dad stuff. But he had a bad dad. So you can't expect him to be a good
maybe
father.
He was that sounds like maybe he was shooting for two albums later.
Or something.
I don't know,
man.
Some big kid reveal. Yeah. I don't know what he was doing.
I was mad at Drake when he said his father could have did stand up. Don't put him in our world like that.
come on, bro.
You know what I'm saying? You should. I can't wait till you meet him. He funny. He could have did stand up. Like, come on, man.
Nah,
don't
bro.
Just push him in the stand up world like that.
Not with that joke he had towards Pusha T.
I push
been,
his T.
Yeah, he could have. I'd rather hit hamburger than
oh,
you.
Come on, man. Come on. And then I was really surprised to hear Jay on the album.
Yeah.
Man, you know, this Jay-Kanye relationship. The Jay-Kanye shit really is like frustrating for me.
I
don't even like to think about it because it hurts my feelings.
Yeah, because it's like it's one
honest,
person.
It hurts my feelings.
One person, like, okay, Jay-Z, if you and Kanye had a business relationship, you should have shut this down at Big Brother. You should have been like, I'm not your brother. I'm your boss. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like,
right.
you should have shut it down then. Y'all do an album together, you know.
Right.
Y'all talking mad stuff together. And then, you know, when things split apart, like, at some point, you should have shut it down. Like, all the stuff Jay-Z was talking on the Everything Is Love,
uh-huh.
it was like, did you ever tell this to Kanye, or are you telling this to us now?
Right.
That you was going through something and that's why you couldn't come to the, you know what I'm saying? It's like,
and
how
also,
is he supposed to know
and
that?
And also, you know this nigga is emotional, dog. Like, he's never not been, that's why I'm like, Kanye's consistently Kanye, bro.
Come on.
Even when you listen to Big Brother, he's still in his feelings about them damn tickets.
Come on.
So, like,
yeah,
so it's like, the nigga's emotional. You know
yeah.
this. You know this.
It's
so
real
you know
tough
little
to listen
things.
To that. So it's real tough to listen to Jay-Z in like 2018
yeah.
and make these kind of shots. It's like that whole album
it's
itself
corny.
is kind of weird.
It's
to
corny because it's kind of like leave Ye alone, bro. Like it's weird. It's like when you see best friends fighting in public. It's just weird. It's like even if y'all ain't fucking with each other,
yeah.
don't fuck with each other. But like
it makes me like, is everything personal supposed to be capitalized on in this way?
Right.
That's where I gotta ask myself.
It's like leave
well,
Ye alone.
Let's take it deeper. Let's take it deeper. The Drake and Jay-Z song. They rapping over the Dope Man beat by N.W.A. If you watch Fade to Black, Kanye is playing the Dope Man beat for Jay-Z. Jay-Z passes on it, then he gives it to the Diplomats.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't know if the level of petty is that high. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't put it past Jay, but I also, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't even want to speak on it. It hurt my feelings like when The Rock broke up. It's just certain shit
it did.
That just be rocking me to the core. Because these are like crudes. I grew up mimicking these motherfuckers, dog. I didn't really have a lot of like blueprints for how to do shit like this that I wanted to do or be successful in entertainment or even just break out of my fucking hood and do something different than everybody around me. So I would look to Jay, to Dame, to Diddy, to Ye as like teachers. You know what I'm saying? So then when you see shit like that, it's like, damn, dog.
Have you ever watched Death of a Dynasty after doing comedy?
No.
You gotta watch it now that you've been doing comedy in New York. All the New York comics are in there. Capone is Dame Dash. Gerald Kelly's in there.
Word.
Will Sylvince is in there. Like, it's all New York comics.
I gotta catch that. Thing.
Yeah,
I gotta
you got
check that.
Rashida Jones is in
wow.
there. Like, when you go back and watch it after doing comedy in New York, it's pretty insane.
I gotta check that out.
Kevin Hart is in there.
Yeah, that shit was sad, bro.
All right, let's move on to some Ye news that we got. Because Kanye just got done with his 5-album run.
Yeah.
But now he wants to do more than that. Apparently he wants to make 52 records in 52 weeks.
He wants us to be a weekly podcast.
Yeah, he's trying to ruin our schedules completely. But I don't know what we think. It seems very ambitious.
I mean, I don't know. I don't think so. We're saying one song a week, right?
No albums. Oh, he's talking 50, about albums.
Oh, he's talking 52.
Like a song a
like
day.
How we just did that June.
Oh, okay.
For the rest of the year.
I mean, if he has it in him, I believe he could do it. I mean, he doesn't sit around. He doesn't do anything else.
Well, I wonder how much back. I wonder like how much he has though. Back chop. Yeah, I mean, he's still got to make hoodies and sneakers.
He's talking
and
about
socks
building
and stuff.
Factories and stuff for Calabasas and whatnot.
Yeah, he's trying to build like a Calabasas compound. But I think like when Ye's musicked out, he's just musicked out. Like he just is in on the music. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like
are
other
there
people
52
keep
different
up.
Artists, or some people get like a round two, round three? You know, like it's Pusha, like already got seven that could come out. You know,
right.
Tiana, you know she got stuff that could come out. She won't stop talking about like, hey, this is wrong. This ain't it. This ain't my album. This ain't keep that same energy. This is some other energy. You know,
which apparently that's not coming out anymore, is it?
That's what she said is not coming.
That's
man.
A weird. She's been cool about it, but not cool at the same time. It's like you can tell she's bothered. But she's
getting hella love off the project.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's causing, you know, it's like that Lupe Laser situation where it's like, I hate this album. I don't like this album. The album goes number one. You know what? The album's okay.
Right.
You know, it's one of the things where it wasn't your vision, but then it ended up getting some traction. Yeah. So now, you know, how do you navigate?
Mm-hmm.
I would like to hear the Bump J, you know. I'm kind of ignorant of him as a rapper, but I know, you know, I remember seeing him in the studio on Diary. I remember him getting a shout out on Don't Like. I know he's like a Chicago legend. I think that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Especially given like the treatment of Chicago and Ye.
And
you
to see what sounds Ye comes up with for him.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I like the diversity, at least in the list that I saw, of just like all these people like sound very different. Mm-hmm. So to hear the production, how he's going to produce for all those people would be interesting.
Right.
I'm least excited about Sci-Hi.
I mean,
I think everybody's at least excited about,
you know,
Sci-Hi.
I feel like Sci-Hi felt like he got done wrong and he just didn't want to accept that he was boring. He was boring on every feature. It was too many words. It was too much. It was like,
you know what?
I get
we don't
it.
Know.
You're metaphorical, but this is.
We don't know Sci-Hi's like.
I don't have the
other
brain
contribution.
For this.
Because I feel like Sci-Hi helps out with other stuff.
Oh, of course. I definitely
and
think
we
so.
We don't really know what his, you know, and I think a lot of people like the last Sci-Hi project, but him defending Ye during the MAGA hat moments was a little much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
He wasn't just defending. He was going further than I feel like even Kanye would even go.
Yeah.
Just to make a stand, like just to be contrarian in a sense that was almost harmful. Because now people are like, oh, fuck you. Like, we don't give a fuck. We like we get how hard you're going, but we don't give a shit about you like that.
Yeah, we're not going to ride with you. Yeah. Like, we're going to ride with
Didn't
you.
Didn't you just make New Africa? What are you talking about?
I mean, this is one of those things where I don't even know if it even happens, but it's a bunch of people, like you said, like, I want to hear what sounds he does, you know, with them. I want to hear more, like, me personally, I want to hear more, like, R&B Kanye produced stuff.
Mm.
I feel like Teyana Taylor, like that was really interesting. I wasn't like most of the album. I didn't like all of it, but I like the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
I would like all the stuff that she says is missing or not done. Like I really want to hear all that.
Yeah,
more than I want to hear him do stuff with somebody like, you know, like older, like a Nas or somebody.
Right. Yeah. I didn't like that.
I like the beats.
That was
that white label beat. I love that.
Nas
beat.
Is just always gonna be Nas. And that's just it. It doesn't matter what product. It's like Nas just has a Nas thing. And like, you got to be like a Nas fan. And I've always been a Jay fan. And so it just was like, I don't care, Nas.
Yeah.
He's just not like everybody else. Even Kanye is like, they giving you something new with their music.
Yeah.
He's the only one kind of stuck.
That's what I'm saying.
In...
It's just Nas shit.
Yeah.
It's Nas giving you Nas shit.
I mean, yeah, I felt like a bunch of rehashes. It was like, this song is, you know, the first song is kind of like... Hate Me Now Part 2.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
It's just Nas doing Nas. He needs to, something needs to happen in his life that he's willing to talk about for real.
Well, okay.
He's willing to talk about because it's just like, okay, God, you're in Egypt. I would get it. I don't know.
Did y'all see the picture? Did y'all see the picture of Drake with the dry erase board?
No.
I did, like him sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. And I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah, already did.
We done been dry erase boards,
but I'm tired, and mine is different. I'm exhausted
because he works so hard.
Come on, man.
on 2025 bitter nigga tracks.
We got the orchestra.
Is that it? We got the orchestra. That's the segue.
The orchestra.
I didn't really check that out.
No?
Nah.
All right.
I kind of did. It was just saying, like, yay, you can look at his music to, like, influence, like, orchestras.
Classical
music. Yeah, you could see, like, the genius in his stuff in the same way you can see it in, like, classical compositions.
I wonder if the person who wrote that article knew about late orchestration. Because Ye definitely already did that himself, mm-hmm. you know? Right. So it's like, who is this orchestra?
It's not mentioned now. It's not mentioned in it. I just checked.
But, yeah.
Somebody had posted a video. There is, I don't know if it was this, there is another kind of like classical style orchestra going around doing Kanye's music. I don't think it's the same thing though, but I think they're doing Yeezus.
Yeah.
Yeezus and 808s is what they're doing. But
I would go see that.
Yeah.
Sounds, put your tux on and go listen to 808s. That would be hard.
I can't wait till that's like how, like, I feel like when we're like older, that's how it's going to be. It's just going to be like live orchestras playing like Jigga stuff and we're going to get like fancy.
Yeah.
like, we're going to see this.
As a lesson, like Westworld already did it. They took, like, when they took Runaway and they put it in, but just in like that Western style music, I was like, oh, y'all could take Kanye's music and do so many crazy things with it.
It's so, he's so great.
That shit will be there forever.
He's definitely ahead of his time.
We already touched on it kind of about, but here's kind of like the buzz next seven album people. So first one's Chance the Rapper.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that would be good.
That's anybody, gonna be fire.
You know, who likes Ultralight Beam, like Chance and Kanye working together on, you know, three. I mean,
yeah, that's gonna be good.
Be hard.
Sci-Hi, we already went over.
He's gonna have too many metaphors.
Bump J Rap, you already touched on.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
Valley.
Is that?
Yeah, that's him.
No, that's somebody else. That's the other dude. Valley. Remember? I sent you that. Remember, like, Genius found him?
Oh,
that other guy. But everybody thought it was him.
Everyone thought it was Valley. Yeah. They didn't tell you out the pot.
We just got to be worse for that guy, because even now, people are still like, that's Valley.
Hey, where the falsetto at, dog? I listen to all seven tracks.
Right.
Where the high pitch? So who is what did Valley do on Ye?
I'm not sure.
You know who I want to get seven tracks?
Who?
Ty Dolla $ign?
Yeah, I'm excited about Ty.
Come on.
I'm excited about Ty Dolla $ign.
This man in Switzerland. He on the Carters. He on Scorpion.
Yeah.
He on Ye. He on Kids See Ghosts. Ty Dolla $ign is letting y'all know. He on Keep That Same Energy.
Everything he did elevated every single song.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's the
thing. He got a song with Bad Baby.
He not just like in the background. He's like, it's my time.
Right.
Catch him outside in Wyoming. How about that?
I like him a lot. Yeah. I got my Wyoming shirt the other day, too.
Yeah, mine came in the mail, but I had to get it sent to my mom's house because I was moving.
Damn.
So my mom was like, you got a package. I was like.
Yeah, I got it like last Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I got an email last Thursday. It came yesterday.
I'm psyched about it.
Speaking of which, Yeasayers, the shirts are coming.
Uh-oh.
I'm working on the shirts right now.
All
right. I got some
announcement.
I got some Wyoming inspiration. So just stay on the lookout for that. Sam J, we ask people every time they come on a podcast, what was your initial introduction to Kanye West?
I was in Atlanta. I was living in Atlanta at the time.
Hey.
And my friend Mark Garrett was like, this dude got a song where he's rapping about Jesus. And I was like, what? This is like before Dropout, I think. And then I was like, what? And then he played me Jesus Walks, and I was like, I need to know everything about this dude. And then it was just like, I just would not stop listening.
So this is before Dropout came out?
Mm-hmm.
That's 2004. So we're talking.
It was probably like 03.
'03.
Okay.
Yeah. It's probably like 03. And he was like, yeah, it's like a club song, but it's all about Jesus. And I was like, what? That sounds crazy. And then I heard Jesus Walks, and I was like, this dude is the best thing.
I feel like that is shake. So when did you get to, why am I fucking up? What was the first single from College Dropout? Because it wasn't Jesus.
Slow Jams?
No.
Slow Jam. All Falls Down.
Through the Wire?
Through the Wire, yeah. So when did you get Through the Wire?
Because
I feel like,
probably right around when it was like a single, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember the video. I remember Stacey Dash. I feel like it was like right around when it was like a popular single that I was like introduced to it. But I went back because I didn't realize like Ye had done so much production for Jay. So like, I mean, I knew it. I knew Kanye West from, you know, Izzo and shit, but I didn't really know the depth of what he was doing. And then like went back to that, like the championship, you know, Dipset collab, and just went back on a lot of shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, at the time, there was a ton of stuff that he did that I didn't realize.
Right.
I liked, but I didn't realize it was him. Like, Be All Right by Trina and Ludacris. Yeah. Had no clue that was him.
And it's also, like, when
they recognized him in the video.
And I think
it's
also, like, making the connections a little bit. Because, like, I remember him from Slum Village.
Yeah.
Right? But it was putting all the things together. Like, oh, this is the same kid making this Jesus Walks album and this record. And this is the same. It was like putting it all in one place.
Yeah.
That this is like the same dude.
You were in Atlanta. Did you go to City on the Bricks?
Nah, I was a big... Are we talking clubs?
No, it was a...
I did was club and drink.
It was a concert at Piedmont Park. Oh, I mean, not Piedmont Park, at Centennial Park.
Yeah.
Which I've been corrected by someone online. They told me that it was 30,000 people out there. It wasn't an exaggeration like I thought it was, but yeah.
I don't think I've ever been to it, but I heard about it. It was like a free concert, right?
$5 concert.
Kanye West
was out there. Yeah, and he played. It was when he just had a College Dropout, so part of his show, John Legend was playing the piano. He's rapping, and there's a part where he plays all the stuff that he produced, you know, like the biggest hits. So he played like You Don't Know My Name, and people were like, what?
You know, crazy.
By Alicia Keys, and he played he played Encore, and he played a couple songs, and people were like, dang, that's crazy. Like, I didn't, you know.
Wait, who was he with?
Yeah.
It was
just him and John
Legend. It was him and John Legend, and maybe Don C was DJing.
Has someone done Last Call on here?
Yeah. We did. We got drunk. Yeah. And talked about Last Call.
So great. Yeah. That's a perfect way to talk about it.
Yeah.
It's my go-to drunk, high, like feeling myself comedy song.
Mm-hmm.
Like when like I have like a comedy achievement and I'm like, niggas don't know. You know that?
Yeah.
It's my niggas don't know song.
I made a Last Call song 6 months into comedy and we listened to it. Yeah, it was pretty bad.
6 months in, you had all that pain to get
still
out.
Still think I can get in the bucket.
Try to get your name in the bucket. That's hilarious. Please don't know.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I feel like the song you picked is kind of like the other side of like the grind. Because Spaceships is like, this is just like the ultimate like fucking grind anthem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. It probably was my favorite song on Dropout for years because like at the time that's like what life was for niggas. We was all working retail jobs somewhere that we fucking hated.
See,
all my
friends
was working somewhere.
I was bad at questionnaires. That's why I ended up working fast food. Because them long ass 100 questions like, okay, if you found money, would you turn it in? But what if you found a large sum of money? Would you turn it in?
But even that was like a thing. There was like niggas that could get retail jobs, and there was niggas that couldn't get retail jobs. And that was even like a separation in high school. And like the retail.
I was at Wendy's.
Yeah, the retail job kids was like different type. So it was like he was speaking specifically to like kids like me, kids I could relate to. That he's like you would finesse your way into those retail jobs, and then you get so frustrated. You'd be like, I'm stealing, dog. Or I'm hooking my homies up. Like, I don't care about this shit. Or just even the Taco Bell line with the churros and shit. It's just, it was such a like real ass record to me. But it was also just a record for dreamers. He makes so many great songs for dreamers. Mm-hmm. And it was such a good dreamer record of like, I'm not gonna be stuck here forever.
I remember at the time too, it was like the gap just seemed like such a separation from like what black people were into. Like,
yeah,
none of the black malls have a Gap.
But that's so funny because, like, from Boston, we all fucked with the Gap.
Oh, really?
The Gap was very popular in the hood. Everyone would wear the Gap, and everybody tried to work at the Gap.
Okay.
Because everybody wanted the discount from all the Gap. Right, all right. So the Gap was big.
When the fleece was popping and 36 Mafia was wearing them inside out and stuff. Yeah,
the Gap was huge, but, and everyone fucked with the Gap.
But when the College Dropout came out, I feel like the Gap, we all associated with, like, that's what, like, Ashton Kutcher wears. That's what, like,
but, like, Boston
Seth
fashion
from,
for niggas is a lot of that. because we live
the OC with. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like Boston's such a white town, mm-hmm. so you get a lot of that crossover. Where like when I was growing up in high school, motherfuckers would wear J. Crew, motherfuckers would wear Abercrombie, motherfuckers would wear Gap, but then like wear with some Tims. Wear with some baggy, like we just.
I didn't see any of those. We always would fuck with that stuff. Suburbs.
We oh, just yeah, nah,
we, like in the hood. We always fucked with that shit.
When they got a they got an American Eagle, I think at Atlantic Station. It was like I started to see the switch, and mm-hmm. like, but in like a post Kanye world,
yeah,
I started
yeah.
to see people. But like when that was out, I don't remember. Like I remember it was all like. Jabos, you know, Rockaware, Sean John.
That's why it hit me so hard, because it was like being the one black kid that works at the Gap. They trying to put you in the front of the store with the mm-hmm, black people. It's like mm-hmm. all of that is real. Like at least three of my friends, we worked at different Gaps in the city. Like one worked in the Harvard Square. I worked in the Copley one. So.
Wow. Yo, it's like when you think about it, yeah, I remember seeing that kid. He looked sad as hell.
Yeah, yeah, you meet the only white kid at the Gap.
Yeah, but you always felt like they... Dude working at the Gap probably getting that bread.
Yeah, you felt know? Like it was
they got a nice coat.
My yeah. homeboy Christian, he used to work at the one I think in Harvard Square, and he used to get cat cargo pants and shit for niggas. Like everybody had super all the cargos.
But then college, that's when the Gap. I start messing with the Gap. Yeah, I still got some of that stuff.
Atlanta be a little behind. It used to be. Y'all are on point, but y'all used to be a little back.
We got our own thing going.
Now y'all are right, but back then y'all were a little behind shit.
I ain't gonna just give it to you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about that necessarily, you know.
I don't want to give it. Bro, y'all was a little behind shit. Like, y'all got on Jabos late. Y'all would get on all the New York shit late. Anything that was East Coast hip hop, y'all would get like a little bit behind. Like, I remember going to Atlanta Live and be like, y'all niggas are still wearing that?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, they must just got down here. Like, we was late on music. Yeah. We got a lot of like it. Just that's just the way the shit.
The music
out.
Exchange was like we would get New York songs late. Y'all would get it.
That's
you
what
know,
I'm saying.
Atlanta
yeah, and then
late.
The fashion would just come late.
Yeah, it would be a while. Like your cousins would ride you out, and you would think you were fresh.
Right,
like you would be like,
but,
I'm wearing my best
but
outfit.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all was late because y'all was feel-lot out for a while, and it was like. Niggas ain't doing that. Like, where your uptowns? Where your temp? It's like y'all were kind of just a little yeah. bit of a beat behind. But now Atlanta's like right on par.
Yeah, when I watched, I remember the Jay-Z. Oh man, what's that video where they like everybody's at the pool? That's the first time I saw Air Force Ones. I was like,
see?
What are these big shoes? What are these huge shoes that these guys are wearing?
I remember right after my mom passed, I had to go live with my brother in Georgia. So I was going to Creekside in Union City. So I was going to Creekside High School, and I had on a BB shirt. Like when that was like what girls was wearing, at least up north, girls was wearing BB mm-hmm. shirts everywhere. And I wore it to school, and they were like, what is that? What is BB? What the hell? And I'm like, y'all don't know shit.
Baby.
Everybody had got gold teeth and ain't up on shit, but white ass feelers or Reeboks, which was crazy to me because niggas did not wear Reeboks. Like, that was like a girl chicken head shoe. And I came to Atlanta and I was like, niggas wear
Reeboks. You only
Reeboks?
Had Reeboks if you had Iverson.
It was
people that was the only time
in,
you had
a Reeboks. In Nikes. It was people who wore.
But y'all wore Reeboks proudly. Shoes. It was like Reeboks was the poor kid shoe. It wasn't a proud shoe.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It and like, it was like, and there was levels to it too, because you had the soldier,
yeah.
and then you had whatever that was under the soldier.
Right.
Like, it was like, oh, y'all just didn't stitch nothing on this. Y'all, that Reebok is holding on for dear
right.
life.
I was
yeah.
like, this place is crazy. I was reporting back home, like, yo, they wear Reeboks down here. They was like, what? Like, it's
Reebok
crazy.
Reebok ropes were the worst. You get them Reebok. Boy, your Reebok's soft as hell, boy. Yeah, that was the worst.
Like, it's crazy now. Oh, but love Atlanta, gotta love it, cause y'all had your own culture and y'all didn't give a fuck about what anybody was doing or what people were saying was cool or not. Y'all really built your own culture.
Well,
from
now
the ground
everything
up.
I feel like was Atlanta,
right?
Like,
that's what I'm saying.
Then.
It's so dope now because they just really built it from the ground up and just created that identity and held onto it, and they didn't let nothing like shake it.
We had Saucony, we had Dada.
Mm-hmm.
Everything had like a little moment, you know. It was real trendy. We had Melissa's.
What the
I don't know
fuck
what
is
that,
that
is.
Y'all don't know what Melissa's are? No. The little clear shoes that girls will wear?
Oh, like.
With the M on them?
Oh, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah. With the M on the side. Hell yeah. don't know if they actually called Melissas, but yeah.
Oh, okay. We definitely called them Melissas.
I do know what you're talking about, though.
These are Marcuses.
But yeah, I mean, there's plenty of great lines in this song, you know. I mean, like, the what hurts about the slavery sounds like a choice thing is that this song starts off with, you know,
one day.
This grave ship feel like a slave ship, you know.
I'll fly away. Yeah, yeah. Like that Negro spiritual. Mm-hmm. GLC went off on this shit too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, but that's why it's like, man, Ye just don't need to be talking, man. I love my nigga, but he don't need to speak, man. He just not a he speaks through music. He's not a very eloquent guy when you just let him go, because it's like he says everything that's on his mind with no like, as fast as it's coming to him, he's just spitting it out to you with no, like, so it's like everything gets taken out of context because he doesn't give you the context. And it's like, you kind of got to know Kanye or be like some type of weird, you got to be a super fan.
Yeah.
Because you know the context. You don't need him to tell you the context. You totally understand the context. But it's like, for people that don't fuck with you like that, bro, you just sound wild.
Yeah,
because you sound like wild stuff is coming out your mouth.
I could watch that Charlamagne interview and somebody else could watch that Charlamagne interview. And I can be like,
two different things.
Yep, I got everything I needed. Yeah. And somebody be like, I have so many questions.
Yeah, so confused. You
or
know?
Even what I hear sometimes from other people, like, that was nothing. Like,
yeah, and it's like
nothing.
He said so much. It's like he said so much.
Because you get caught up. You can get, like, if you get caught up in, like, the Obama section, you'll be like, that was the whole interview. But it wasn't the whole interview. But people go there all the time.
And it's like, you have to, you know, he is a creative. So you kind of have to have a creative brain. You have to be a creative listener. Because there's a lot of little gaps that you have to kind of fill on your own.
And sensitivities.
Yeah, that he's not filling for you.
Yeah.
Right.
Consequence part on this, I didn't know who Consequence was at the time. Like, I
like the Busta Rhymes line.
Yeah, I thought he
was great.
I thought he was that other dude, that dude that used to be in all the Busta Rhymes, like with Busta Rhymes.
Oh, the light skinned dude?
Yeah, that's who I thought it was.
Cliff?
Right? Yeah. I was like, yo, he finally got a verse. Yo, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying?
And you thought Smith blew it off. You was like, Smith blew it off.
Somebody said I look just like a dude you seen in the Busta Rhymes video the other. And I was like, yeah, dog, he got the dude. Come on, man.
That's funny. I like Consequence. It was weird, though. It took me a while to figure out that he literally raps both sides, like the consequences and the behavior. You didn't pick that up?
No.
He does it all the time. What's the other song?
That all makes late, sense. His album was called The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly.
On Late Registration, this song where he talks about, like, and then I got he had a couple of drinks and he went to the bar, then the judge telling me that I took it too far, now and then took it too gone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's both sides. So he's like, it took me a while to pick that up on him, though.
That's dope.
I never picked that up. Shit.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and listen to some Consequence.
Yeah, it's all he always talks about the consequences and, like, what the decision, but then what, you know what I mean?
That's hard. Yeah, but now, like, going back and listening to Tribe and stuff, I found out, you know, like, later, you know, through, like, download music and, you know, college and just, you know, streaming and stuff, like, later I found out, like, oh, he did a whole lot before, you know, this moment. But
that's what it's like.
This is my introduction to Consequence.
But that's what makes Kanye so dope, is that he's so true to the fucking art, and he's so true to hip-hop, and he's true to the shit he fucks with. And he fucks with Tribe, and he talks about growing up on that shit. Hey, but he also was frustrated about how niggas treated niggas they consider backpack rappers, you know, and he was falling into that. But he's like, nah, niggas could be fly, niggas could be this, niggas could be that, and these niggas are dope, and you don't even know it. And that's why, like, that first half of his career, you see him put so much emphasis on niggas like Khan and, like, Slum Village and, like, all these dudes, because he was like, nah, this shit is popping, bro. This shit is dope.
It's, I mean, you know, it's a nod to the backpackers, is a nod to the Tribe, but it's in a world where you've seen amplified.
Yeah.
You've seen how when Q-Tip went solo, you know, like how that financed so much, how that, you know, you know, so you've seen the whole spectrum. You've seen him produce for Janet. You've seen him, you know, do the whole Tribe thing. You see him do his own thing. I feel like Kanye's a mixture of all that.
Yeah, that Tribe documentary was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Rappaport one?
Yeah, that's the last thing.
So good.
that Rappaport needed to do.
Oh, he's talking way too much now.
He talks way too
much.
I'm
like, bro, bro, just chill.
He's joining the class. Anybody who's making like videos in their car.
It's wildin'.
You're out of pocket.
That doesn't have to.
Let me tell you about this dummy.
Like, not
dummy.
If you need that to get on. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Not if your goal is, you know, like, no, Rappaport is on his
but
way
I did
to
meet
the bag.
Him. I met him at Clusterfest.
Yeah.
And I told him I have mad respect. I got mad respect for Mike Rappaport. He was in that movie Zebrahead. That was the shit when I was a kid. That was like the first interracial dating hood movie. And he was like the Jewish dude dating the black girl, and it was like this date. We was like passing it around. It was like, yeah, you seen this shit?
I bet so he had a lot of sauce when he was young.
Yeah, he was like that guy, bro.
Yeah.
I was like, man, fuck with you, Rappaport.
For a white dude to speak with that much confidence, he must have like people can still back him up.
Oh yeah, I don't think he's not respected. I don't think you really get to run around saying wild shit about Rappaport.
But it's just like in today's day and age, where especially if you're an older person. They'll no matter who you are, they'll come for you. Like,
it's just old people using technology. It's like if he was writing like articles, I would I'd be like, this is Michael Rappaport's article on this.
Yeah.
But it's like old niggas with technology.
Let me tell you what's wrong with you young fucks.
It's just always wild.
Because he always comes like way aggressive. Yeah. Stupid motherfuckers. Let me tell you about.
Like, man, I follow you.
Yeah.
I hit play.
This shit sucks. I'm like, all right, man. Can't like nothing.
Can't like shit.
Can't like none of my Rappaport.
Spaceship samples Distant Lover by Marvin Gaye, which is a dope song. I think it's also sampled on Purple Haze by Cameron. But growing up, we would always hear the live version of Distant Lover.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this song was my introduction to the like, oh, this was actually a song. I didn't even know until way later that the live version came out in the 80s. Mm. Like there was like 20 year gap between,
I didn't know either.
You know, Distant
You're
Lover.
You're talking about the one we know. Distant Lover. Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the one they would play on the radio growing
up. Hit that Dolly Get Rob.
That's a cry. That was a cry.
No, I thought that was a note.
No. That's a cry. You know, because like, you know, the background singers are there.
Come on, shoulders.
You know. Distant Lover.
Rob want to be an R&B singer so bad.
Oh, listen to the
so
podcast.
Bad.
They know Rob.
They know he wants to be an R&B.
Rob has hit many, many high notes and falsettos in here.
Yeah, man. I know. I mess with that Marvin Gaye song. Like, but
Rob would be like a Jason Derulo if he was
no. Don't do that to me. No, don't do that to me. Come on now, don't
wait,
do
wait,
that to me.
Wait, dude,
like, that's my least favorite person.
Wait, do the Jason
like,
Derulo part.
Like, he gets
part
so many checks, and I'm like, why is he on everything? No, I'm not.
If it sounds perfect, you gotta.
No. That, come on, man. Anybody but him. I'd take Miguel before him.
Hey, what's nothing wrong with Miguel.
I'd take The Dream before him.
I mean, he's got a mean right
him.
Kick, but that's it.
Let me be Pitbull before Jason Derulo.
That's why you're not R&B dude, because that's who you would have been. That's why you're where you're supposed to be.
Kanye sings.
You would have had a mohawk.
My dreads would have been real.
You had a mohawk with fake dreads.
Jason Derulo just showed up looking like you one day and was like, yo, where these dreads come from? Where did these dreads come
from? He's a maniac of a person.
Man. Jordan Sparks broke up with him. He was like, you know what? I'm getting dreadlocks.
But it's also
tomorrow.
Like the worst couple.
Yeah.
We're like Jordan Sparks.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Be
but
more
Jason
interesting.
Jason Derulo be on every, like, anytime it'd be like New Year's Eve, Rockin' Eve.
Oh,
you know what
those.
I'm saying? He'd be in the off city.
All those.
Any, like, you know, Billboard
Awards. You think
awards.
You can dance? Yeah. He's doing it.
Any, anytime
your
it's
new
like.
Judge on The Voice, Jason Derulo.
Before results, but before that, Jason Derulo.
Yeah.
Like, come
and
on.
And he comes
man.
Out moonwalking.
Oh man, when he did the halftime, did he do the halftime at the Detroit game?
Did he?
And I was like, what did Detroit do to deserve this? Out
last year? You talking about the Thanksgiving Day game?
Yeah.
What did they do to deserve this?
He might have. He sounds pretty like not shit for that. I don't think he did this year. I don't think he did this year. Might be like
he,
3 years ago.
I feel
ago.
Like he did the year after Big Sean.
That would have been this past year.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I remember tweeting it. I remember getting a lot of retweets. A lot of people was like, finally, somebody going to say something.
The world is fed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't talk about Kanye singing on this song. Kanye does the chorus with Tony Williams, right?
Yeah.
I'm not wrong on that.
Yeah.
This is no auto-tune Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Williams, his cousin, who wasn't originally on the album, he played the album for him, and his cousin just started going in the car, and then he had him record.
Mm. I didn't know Tony Williams was his cousin.
Mm-hmm.
I love Tony Williams. Even though I don't even get to get a lot of Tony, whenever Kanye shouts out Tony, I'm excited.
Tony's on the Nas album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whenever he's like, that's one of my favorite parts of Late Registration. I got to say, what's up to Tony Williams?
Yeah, yeah. Tony Williams goes in.
Yeah.
And his YouTube channel, he would tell all kind of stories like that one about, you know, recording with Kanye and stuff and them being cousins and Kanye always being like, yeah, you know, you'd always be like, I do music too, you know, and kind of be like, all right, you know. And then he just had to just
do
sing
it.
In the car.
Yeah,
you know?
To just do it.
Yeah.
Just like what Kanye would do in like record studios.
Exactly.
But like just singing though.
Yeah.
And like not standing on a table.
Yeah, like I rap.
What else we got? There was I guess we'll call it a lost video.
Yeah, I did watch that.
But it's only GLC's part.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the only part that's on YouTube. I don't think it's finished, because I think there's a part where they go to space that they didn't finish all the way.
They ran out of money, like Belly?
Well, I think that they didn't insert all the special effects. I know there's a part where like Kanye has on like a astronaut suit, but I think there was supposed to be a space component that didn't happen.
I'm going to listen to Walking on the Moon when I leave here.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Just a kind of astronaut suit.
Mm-hmm.
I like that song a lot.
But yeah, this last video, I wish this song had a video. I wish this was a single.
I thought it was going to be.
It would have been a better last single than the new workout plan. I feel like that was a weird send off of, you know.
That was a lot too.
I think they had let Kanye do so much weird shit that they didn't trust him. They were like, we need a poppy joint.
Yeah.
They did like that like label shit.
I think maybe you maybe like wanted to show off his sense of humor a little bit. It had like a feel like one of those like Ludacris videos or something like that.
Well, and Nicole Smith in there.
They were trying to get that Farnsworth Bentley rollout.
Yeah, man. What happened? I was thinking about that. I was about to mention it, but I was like, nah, I don't want to bring it up.
No, this
I wanted so much more for Farnsworth than what happened.
He was at the Virgil show.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It's in there a little bit.
But it's limited. I'm not sure how much of it you get. Man, that's it. Cuts off and they're like, uh-oh, she caught us.
But yeah, I wish that song had a video. I wish that was a single. I think that would have been a huge record.
It would have been huge. It was great. Yeah. It was such a good record. I remember being like everyone listening to it a lot.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe I don't know what the politics goes into that. You know, Def Jam was in all kind of crazy shape. You know,
right?
They had to decide between Rihanna and Tierra Marie and whatnot.
No choice.
A lot of shit going on over there.
Yeah, Nicole Ray. There's a lot of stuff going on.
The fuck is Nicole Ray?
Yeah, I'm Nicole Ray.
First of all, you're gonna regret saying that. I got what you want.
Oh, yeah, I was say she was a Missy, right?
You got
right,
what right, you right. need.
Can
but
I,
then
I,
she
I,
was
I,
with I, Rockefeller, like at the very end mm-hmm. of like the dynasty. Like right at the end, she has like a video with Dame Dash in it. Oh, we didn't talk about pulling up at the Diana Ross concert.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Man.
Shout out to Dame.
Oh.
Yo.
Shout out to Dame, keeping it in Harlem.
Shout out to the guy taking the video.
Shout out to Dame.
Shout out to the poor Diana Ross fans that did not
know. Dame, keeping it in Harlem. Dame, keeping it in Harlem. I appreciated everything about it.
You know what? I am wrong.
Oh, man.
And I will give you my phone number.
I love that he was in a cape.
Yeah,
I love that he was in a cape.
A turquoise cape.
I love that Dane went to his gay nigga territory. Like,
yeah,
oh, you didn't think I'd come to your gay nigga shit?
Yeah, no. Before
I'm coming
before
to your gay
I'm
nigga
coming
shit.
Out plays,
yeah, I'm coming to your gay
I'm
nigga
to
concert. I want to my brat. Like, you know he wasn't there for the concert. He was only there like, no. I know this gay nigga gonna be there. So I'm there. I need my change. What's up, bro?
If there's a cure for this. I don't want it. Hey, bruh, you owe me $2 million.
Dang. Dame.
Come on, man.
I'm going to pay you.
What is up with these people saying
G-checked
that
them.
Dame Dash can't call Lee Daniels a culture vulture? Don't you know who made that up?
Yes, he can.
Culture vulture comes from Dame Dash.
He can definitely call him that.
The doing it for the culture.
Dog, he's
comes
he's,
from Dame
he's
Dash.
He's a classic. He's classically Czech
yelling
Sigas.
At Kevin Lyle.
Yes, which is one of my favorite moments.
One of the funniest
all
videos
all time. You a quarter water nigga.
Who at this point in their life checks email?
Yeah, you a quarter water nigga.
You do nothing for my culture, fat boy.
I know what you are. I know how much you get. I know what you get.
Oh, I never even.
Y'all having secret
meetings?
I never
even seen the whole walk up part.
Oh, yeah, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes.
It's epic.
He gets on his ass.
And he got a cameraman. Shout out to Choke, no joke. I don't know who the new cameraman is.
Yeah, I love Choke.
But Choke used to post all them videos of Dame Dash.
Dame's my guy. I'll always love Dame, dog.
I mean, Dame's swag is like. There's so much stuff that people don't even realize that came from Dame.
Well, Honor Up is really bad, though. Could we just say that? But I love Dame still.
I didn't see it.
It's a terrible movie.
Really?
It's bad.
As a Ye fan, you know, I should have seen it.
I feel like
it is
they
produced
made,
by Kanye
I think
West.
That was just Ye supporting it just out of guilt.
Yeah.
Like, you're my man's Dame. I'm going to give you this bright. But it's, first of all, Dame Dash is playing a young hustler on the block. Who's learning from the OGs?
Is it a spinoff of Paid in Full?
It's like if Paid in Full was no. He's a different young nigga who got OGs, and he gotta respect. You gotta respect the OGs, and they like, I like how you hustle, young nigga. But everybody got grays. Everybody's old. Everybody's grayed out.
On a scale from zero,
it looks crazy.
On a scale from zero to Killer Season, how crazy is it? Because Cameron was in high school, grown as hell.
But Killer Season has so many great moments. Killer Season has good moments. It's very bad, but the dude, it's like a cult bad, right? Killer Season's cult bad. It's culty good.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
It's like you got the fiend passing on the stool. You got when he spit on the little girl. You got all these great little moments in Killer Season where you're like, ooh, okay.
The real life basketball clip of him and Mace.
And where he's like, look at this bitch ass nigga cry. Why did he do that? At the top of the movie. Yeah. For no reason. That's that bitch ass nigga Mace crying.
He shows what he really looked like in high school and then tried to convince us he was still in high school.
But he also just didn't care. It was like, I don't give a fuck. I'm Cam. Honor Up is bad.
I've been in New York 3 years and I'm still trying to find a high school where they shot Killer Season.
Dog. Honor Up is no good. But Killer Season is my shit.
I need to see Honor
I fuck
Up.
With Cam. I fuck with all things Cam, even
oh,
though I
yeah.
shouldn't.
Yeah, no, Cam has had some of my favorite moments across the
he
board.
He can't do bad. You know? He can't
even
do wrong
live,
in my
live IG stories, on, some of the best.
Oh, did you see the recent one where he checked?
I didn't see a recent one, no.
Oh, his mom was like, my son wrote for 3LW. He wrote You Do or You Don't. And then whatever record company tried to like take it down and all this shit and was like saying
Cameron
like.
Cameron wrote You Do or You Don't?
Wait, made this whole statement like, no, he didn't. And then so Cam was like, yo, don't call my mom's a liar. Goes in his crib and shows the plaque with his name on it. Like, dog, my mom's not a liar. Like, don't call my
Yo,
mom's a liar.
You gotta get that reference track.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm getting real tired of your broken
promises.
Looking at your pages, seeing different numbers. Yo, we gotta get that.
Yeah, dog. It was really a fun little day on the gram with Cam.
I could see that being a Cameron song.
He's like, you know, I did it. That's how we do. And then he's like, just show him the plaque, Ma. Just show him the plaque. Just show him the plaque. It's like pure Cam shit. Just
that
show
is
him the plaque.
Crazy.
It's great.
Wow.
I love Cam.
I feel like we got two good gems in this podcast.
Yeah, that was a
between
gem.
Between that and the consequence one.
I already knew this was going to be a classic. You know what I'm saying? The way Sam J holds down Ye, you know, and... We looking forward to everything you're going to do, you know what I'm saying, with this album.
I'm excited about the album, definitely. I think it's really different. It's not your straight-up regular comedy album. It's a really different thing, and I hope that people dig it and attach stuff to it. It's like, it's his own work of art, and I put a lot into it. So I'm really excited to see how people receive it.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say we have two very difficult questions we ask on our podcast. What is your favorite and least favorite Kanye song?
That's hard. Dang, my least favorite Kanye song. What's a song I skip a bunch? But it's so weird because I'll stop liking something, then like it again later. You know what mm-hmm, I mean? Like I switch mm-hmm. on and off of a lot of his songs so much. I'm trying to think of a song where I was just like, yeah, I'm good.
What can't you defend?
I don't think there's anything Kanye can do that I can't defend.
Hey,
the song.
Even if I didn't particularly like the song, I would be like, I get why, Ye. Like, when, what's his name? Who said Ye was like, fuck the kids of Chicago?
Rhyme Fest.
When Rhyme Fest was like, Ye said, fuck the kids of Chicago, my first reaction was, what did those kids do to Ye? Like, what was them kids doing? Yeah. They each felt like he had the to say, fuck them.
Yeah.
Did they do something to Ye? Because if so, then fuck them kids.
Well, he wouldn't say that without a good reason.
Right. Yeah. He's not just going to just say, fuck the babies. They did something. But, damn, my least favorite Kanye song. I don't know if I have one.
If you ain't got it, you ain't got it. We can do the favorite Kanye song.
I don't know if I have one.
People claim my answer was a cop out.
It is a cop out.
It's not. It was Impossible off the Mission Impossible 3 soundtrack.
Oh, you know what song I don't like?
What?
That I skip a lot and I just like, I don't need it. But it's I don't dislike that either.
Okay.
I was going to say Amazing with Jeezy.
Mm.
It's like I skip it a lot.
Okay.
But every once in a while, I do want to hear it. But I do skip it a lot.
It's the whales.
Yeah.
Do you not like the whales?
It's something about the whales. And then it's also.
Is it because it's on 808s? Like maybe. Is it like, does it not fit?
It's the redundancy of it. And then what was the other one where he was.
I'm amazing.
What's the other one where he was like, the one he got the cartoon to?
Heartless?
Yeah, I don't.
Good
I'm
morning.
Heartless. I'm not a big Heartless fan. And there's the other one where he was running in the jungle with the lions and shit. And I'm not a huge fan of that. It's like a video. It's kind of like lions or some shit. I can't remember the song, but I wasn't a big fan of that either.
This ain't coming to me neither.
He was running in the jungle.
I don't know if he was running in the jungle or just lions were running at the camera or running at the screen.
Love Lockdown?
Yes. I'm not a big fan.
Mm.
I could say that's probably my least favorite Kanye song.
See, so you're not an 808s person.
No, I am.
Okay.
I am. I like street lights. I like we could pull up 808s.
Oh yeah, you wanted to do street lights.
Yeah, I like 808s. I don't like Love Lockdown. Mm. I could do it without Amazing, but I love to join with Wayne. Tell everybody that you know.
Yeah.
That's my shit. I like 808s.
Okay.
I like 808s.
Just the singles got a bit too much.
Yeah, I think so. I think so for me. My favorite Ye song. It's so weird because right now it's probably ULB. It's probably Ultra Light Beam.
Mm.
I love Pablo so much. I just think it's such a perfect album.
I don't think we had anybody ever say that before.
It's everything. I don't know, because Ye grows with you and it's like it's where I am right now.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like I feel it. It's where I am right now. And it was such a triumphant return for Ye. You know what I mean? It's like really knew what Pablo was gonna really be. And then it was just like, oh, this is fucking amazing. It was such a triumphant return. And that being like the first joint that you really got into, it was great. Mm. It was great. Chance spazzes on it.
Yeah.
In like the perfect Chance way with like you get an edgier Chance a little bit. Like he's spazzing a little harder because it's just like I'm fucking with Ye. I'm on this shit. You could just tell he brought that energy to it. And it's definitely like my go-to hype. This is my shit right now. So.
Mm.
And it's just everything. It's like where my friends are. Like we're all just in good places, I think. Like everybody that I'm a friend with, you know, professionally.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like anytime there's a win, that's one of the first songs we all play. And everybody can uniformly be like, this makes me fucking feel good.
The funnest thing was putting people on Kelly Price after that song. Like some of the people around me did not know who Kelly Price
you gotta
was.
Know that.
I was like,
it's really a moment in time, though. Like the Kelly Price era is a moment in time, but it's so important to like all of what
Pink
music
leather
is.
Jumpsuit. Come
bruh,
on.
Bruh. All the Mr. Big saga. Like you needed
Mr.
All,
Big saga.
All that shit. Yeah. All that shit's so crucial.
All right. That's big praise from Pablo. So I have to ask, like, what did you think of Ye? just as a project.
I loved it. I thought it was yay going back to just fucking rapping, which made me excited. It was like he was just rapping again, bro. Like just being yay, being silly sometimes, being contradictory in his verses, but just like rapping. Like here's me just fucking, I'm not gonna sing for you really. Like I'm just get on these dope beats and I'm just hit you with these lyrics. And then the other part of it is just, it felt like hearing a guy on the other side of some heavy shit. Some shit that really threw him off course, you know, like, I mean, not to be like sentimental, but as someone who lost my mother at 16, I know how lost you can be. And you can be, and you'll be lost for a long time. People don't get that. You don't get over no shit like that in a year, two, three, four, five. Your compass is gone. And so for a while, you could spin, bro. You could spin out for a while. And it just sounded like a dude who was back on his fucking axis finally and like happy again. You know what I mean? Like when I hear fucking, what's the joint? We're not the kids we used to, we're still
Ghost
the kids
Town.
We
Ghost Town.
Yeah. Ghost Town, it's like that one verse, we're still the kids we used to be. It's just like, when you're out here just, out here growing in some shit, and then you don't even have your parents or your mom, your beacons around, right? You get very far from who you are sometimes. You kind of lose yourself, like I said. And like that particular line, it was like, oh, he's saying like, I'm still that person. Like that guy is still inside and he's like tapping into that guy again. And that was very exciting to me. I thought it was a great album.
Man.
Yeah.
This feels like the most unified table we had in a minute, man.
I know. It ain't really been no argument. No. Chris ain't been his whole like, oh, you got to think rationally about this thing.
Oh, man. Believe me, I have my issues with Kanye, but the views on Ye that you just expressed is perfect. That's the most relate. Like, if you say you can't relate on somebody coming through the other side of something, regardless of what it is, you're not here.
Yeah, that's what it was for me. It was like, oh, he's on the other side.
Because I love that album, too.
So good.
Aside from all the other shit.
It's really good.
And he's spitting on that Kid See Ghost.
Man.
That's where the verses are.
Woo. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some people, they don't even want, they was like, I'll never listen to it. Like, what
shit,
is wrong with
that
you?
That shit is great, too. Yeah. The sounds on that shit are mind-blowing. The production is out of here, dude. It's so fucking good.
Cudi, best Hummer in the game.
Dog, the hums is fucking epic. Just Hums the choices. It's like people don't give Kanye enough respect for like the sound choices he makes.
Come on, man.
And that he makes hip hop.
Did you hear that?
It's fucking incredible, dude.
Yeah.
Fucking the song on Daytona. I'm fucking forgetting the fucking name.
Infrared. You know what I mean?
No, Infrared. Comeback Baby.
Oh, yeah.
Pusha T apparently didn't like that beat at all. That's a Kanye choice. He said he didn't like it. Kanye was like, no, you gotta go with this.
Yeah.
I'm talking about all you addicts
best,
out there.
Best song on the album.
Yeah, it's the best song.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah, he's never not gonna be a genius in my eyes. He's never not gonna be like the shit that he's contributed to music, he's gonna have the type of like people don't wanna respect it because niggas just don't like to like Ye, but he's gonna have a Prince legend. When you really open up that Kanye catalog for real and you see how much shit he influenced, how many think people he wrote for, how much shit he produced, and how he changed the scape of the fucking industry. It's like undeniable shit.
Yeah.
It's undeniable shit. And it on all levels, when you go to fashion, when you just go to everywhere that he's pushing. Uh-huh. Even like that whole shit where Drake tried to make it seem like him and Virgil had hella beef, or he was being shady to Virgil, and then you see them crying in Paris at that LV show.
Come
it's like,
on, man.
You don't know what niggas really go through, bro.
Come
like,
on.
You don't, like, and you, if you can say what you want to say about Ye, but he's been pro-black and pro-nigga this entire time, bro. And even if he says some wild shit, his actions have never not been pro-black.
Yeah.
His actions have never not been pro-black. His actions have never not been about putting niggas in the limelight, pushing forward black identity, black thought, and pushing forward what that could even be or what that is. He's never not been on that.
Horace Chain. Yeah.
That has never not been on that.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Black skinheads. You listen to anything that he puts out, bro.
And, you know, it's one of them things where it's like, I don't know, Adidas is signing all the, like, critics.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Drake is with Adidas now. I saw J. Cole wearing Adidas at the BET Awards. I'm like, wait, what is up?
Right.
Wex posted it. It was like, wait, what is going on here? You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's a forward thinker. And and in that, sometimes you're going to get shit that doesn't necessarily align with everybody's sensibilities.
Mm-hmm.
But that's fine. I hate how droned out people are. It's like, everybody doesn't have to fucking think the same. Every black person doesn't have to think the same. It's yeah. okay to be a black Republican. All this shit is okay. There needs to be diversity within the culture. You know what I'm saying? There needs, mm-hmm. And I think that's what he was trying to say. He just shouldn't be talking. So he doesn't formulate things well
yeah.
and just shit just spills out in a negative way. But that's why I like how he addressed it on the album. You know what I'm saying? You say build your fucking own, I say houseway. I say slavery is a choice, you say how, yeah. It's like, nigga, I told y'all this white construct so I can't do some shit. Y'all told me go do the shit, nothing stopping me. I flip it and say the same thing about this shit and y'all tell me I'm fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Well, what are y'all on?
I think a lot of people see sides and see how, okay, maybe you don't necessarily have to be strong on one side to be against the other one, but I think a lot of people who are trying to like fight and do things to like move people forward, they're of the opinion like me. I don't think regardless what you do, you should do no harm, and whatever. Like, and with Kanye, it's just influence. So maybe you should be quiet or whatever, but I still think it bears weight just because of who he is.
Oh, of course it does. Of course it does. And he should have thought way more about that statement than just to go on TV and say some old reckless shit without any context. You know, like I have a friend who said like kids, white kids are running up to little black girls. His mother teaches at school saying, you know, slavery is a choice. Like there's definitely consequence for the stuff that you say. And I'm not alleviating him from that. Definitely. Bad choice. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Bad decision. But I think the bigger conversation he was trying to have was about black oppression, staying in the mind of being oppressed, mm-hmm. and how mentally you can oppress yourself if you keep feeding an oppressed narrative, I think was what he was trying to get at.
And unfortunately, what he was trying to get at was not the conversation.
Right.
Immediately after the conversation was about him, like, about...
You're laboring on that too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like,
I watched CNN. Yeah. There were four panelists and they were all like condemning Ye. And no one was like speaking to, all right, well, what was he trying to say?
Right.
What was he trying to do?
Right.
And it was all
because
just
talking
like,
heads like to be talking heads. And yeah. People like to be mad and infuriated rather than think. It's easier to just get angry than it is to think about some shit.
Yeah, they rather argue about whether we can still call him a genius or not.
Because people don't like to have their sensibilities pushed at all in any direction. And once you start to do that, and it's like, hey, maybe you should sit and think about what he's saying. What in what context does this even make sense? But people don't like to think about how something that is opposite of whatever has been embedded in their brains could be.
Yeah,
you know, they're just resistant to that.
I think it's a little.
They ain't dragon energy. Get on y'all dragon energy, dog.
I've been taking my alpha brain pills.
I'm all dragon energy,
and now
baby.
I'm thinking so much more.
I mean, I think a lot of it is like, regardless of like disagreeing or disagreeing, I think he's trying to take in like a lot of ideas in today's climate, the same way he does with like music and fashion 100%. And things. You just hope, like, I hope you're getting the good one, like all the good ones too. I hope you're not. You know,
well, to get to the good, you gotta go through the bad. That's a creative process, right?
Yeah.
You gotta hear some, you gotta like think on the fuck shit. You can't just like, oh, I'm not gonna think about that. No, you need to think about it because all of that inspires however you're gonna like grow the idea.
So you're still Kanye 2020?
Yeah, I fuck with Ye, bro.
No, I'm not Kanye 2020.
I'll vote for Ye.
Kanye doesn't need to do politics.
I'll vote for Ye.
Because he's not part of politics is speaking.
Only if I get
speeches,
two votes.
But
one just because I love Ye and then like my real vote.
Who is being groomed for politics is Kim.
All right, that's the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
What you mean?
Yeah.
No.
She's perfect.
Yeah.
Rob, all her dirt is already out there.
Rob's crazy.
But that's been the
Rob's
best
crazy.
Yeah, everybody.
Just jumped out a window.
Yo. Kim's going to be. No, watch. Kim's going to be.
Mayor
viable.
Of Calabasas, nigga. What are you talking about?
Maybe that first. She's getting people out of jail one by one. Okay? Ye's 52 albums. Kim in 52 weeks gonna have 52 people
52
out of
pardons.
Prison.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
We'll see.
Come
bro.
On.
Man.
All right, y'all watch. Y'all watch. Yo. People say the same thing about Trump.
You have a chance right now to say, cut this out.
No, keep it in. Put it in the top. Put it in the top and put my verse. Kim is going to run for office. Watch.
Oh, man.
She's being groomed for politics. If you guys don't see that,
Sam,
you're crazy.
Thank
That's
you so
the
much.
Next chapter.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming
That's
on the
That's what Rob Kardashian would have wanted.
Shut up.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.